Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. New beginnings is not just for the young. New beginnings are for all of us, regardless of your age, regardless of your station, regardless of your path. New beginnings are available.
Amen.
To you. Today is Wednesday, May 9th. It is 7:04, and we're ready to come together with New Beginnings Ministry and our online interactive blog on Blog Talk Radio. If you're listening to us by internet and you'd like to be part of the conversation, the live conversation, you can either inbox us or you can call us. The guest call-in number is 347-237-4054. Again, that's 347-237-4054. And if you've received our reminders on Facebook or text reminders, please feel free to share them with your friends and your colleagues, your church members, your family, if you would like to share this ministry with them, if this ministry has been a blessing to you. And we thank you. We welcome everyone that calls in to be a part of the conversation. It is not mandatory. I'm not going to embarrass you and call you out by name or by phone number, but I invite you to join in the conversation, because as we all talk and as we all ask questions and discuss dig into the word and digest it, we all grow. We learn and we grow from one another. And we praise God that the Holy Spirit will speak to our spirits about the messages that we should receive and what we are to take away from the word and the ministry this evening. I'm Dr. Suzanne Hawthorne Clay, and I'm the wife of Minister John Clay. And he has me leading today. So if you say, well, gee, that voice is a little bit higher than what I'm used to hearing, that's the reason why. We're going to begin with prayer, and then I'm going to invite our speaker this evening, who is Mrs. Cassandra Ricks Garrett. Are you on the line, Mrs. Garrett?
Yes, I'm here. Amen.
Good, good, good. And congratulations. I hear congratulations are in order. You were just married?
Yes, thank you.
Is that correct? Congratulations to you. We wish you absolute success.
Hallelujah.
Father, yeah, hallelujah is right. Praise God. We're going to play blessings on that marriage. Father God, we praise your name and we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come together this evening, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that all of our listeners, Father God, whether they're in and out of the car, Father God, in their homes, busying themselves, Father God, that they would just settle down, Father God, to sit and listen and take in the word and the message that you have for us this evening, Father. I thank you, Father God, that our homes, Father God, are in order, that the Holy Spirit has completely filled each and every room of our homes, Father God, that we have no concerns and distractions, Father God, that will keep us away from receiving your word this evening, dear Lord. I thank you, Lord, for our minister, Father God, Mrs. Cassandra Ricks Garrett, Father God, as she has prepared his well-prepared and skilled, Father God, in ministering the word, Father God, and this word that's been entrusted to you, Father God, that she'll share with us this evening, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that you will give her, that you would just bless her, Father God, in her obedience to share the word, Father God, that you would have favor on she and her husband and her family, Father God, and her household, Father God, as she goes out and does your work, dear Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you would bless everything that she touches, Father God, that she would speak life, and those around her, Father God, would speak life to her, Father God, and blessings to her, Father God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this sweet sister, Father God, and what she's about to deliver. I also thank you, Father God, for those on our prayer list, Father God, those, Father God, with health concerns, Father. We just lift them up, Father God, and ask you, dear Lord, because we know that Jesus is Jehovah Rapha, our healer, Father God, and that he has come to heal us, Father God, and that every stripe of blood, Father God, was shed, Father God, was shed for one of the diseases that is in the kingdom, that's in the world, Father God. So we just lift up those on our prayer list right now in Jesus' name, those who need physical healing, Father God, that their bodies line up with Christ, Father God, that every organ of their body is obedient and subjected to Christ, Father God, that they operate as they were designed to operate, Father God, that the blood that flows through their body, Father God, ministers to their organs the way that the blood of Jesus ministers to the entire body of Christ. And we thank you, dear Lord. I thank you, Father God, with those with concerns, wellness concerns, Father God, that it may be struggling, Father God, like with diabetes and high blood pressure and so forth, Father God, that those things come into order as well, Father God, that you would call them, Father God, and to use wisdom, Father God, within taking care and ministering to themselves, dear Lord, that they would use wisdom, Father God, on what they eat, Father God, and what they do and how they maintain their wellness, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father God, that those, Father God, that are searching for church homes, Father God, that may be maybe spiritual refugees, dear Lord, that you would find them, put them in a place, Father God, where they can bloom and they can grow, Father God, a place where they can serve, Father God, and a place, Father God, where people can minister and love on them, dear Lord. We praise you. We thank you this evening, dear Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this ministry, the opportunity, Father God, to come together every week, Father God, for the last several years, Father God. We thank you for this awesome opportunity and responsibility. In Jesus' sweet, 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 sweet holy name, amen. And amen.
Amen.
Father, amen. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Tonight, our topic is moving by compassion. And our speaker for the evening is Mrs. Cassandra Ricks Garrett. So New Beginnings Ministry welcomes you, Mrs. Garrett. She comes from Rocky Mount, North Carolina, to join the platform as a skilled minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. She is a member of Trinity Baptist Church under the fine leadership of Reverend Jacqueline Williams. Mrs. Ricks will be ministering from the book of John, chapter 11, verse 35. And that verse reads, Jesus wept. Mrs. Ricks, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. What I will be talking about tonight, I'll be coming from John chapter 11, and the verse that stood out to me was Jesus wept. It's one of the shortest passages in the Bible, but that one passage has so much meaning. When you think about what's going on throughout the whole chapter 11, and what I found from studying this from John the Apostle, what he has shared with us, you know, he's showing us not just about the life of Jesus, but it's about the powerful things that Jesus done, the miracles that Jesus performed in his life here on earth. John shows us that Jesus was and is the very heaven-sent Son of God, and he is the source of eternal life. John also shows us in his writing the identity of Jesus, and he shows us Jesus' miracles he performed, that Jesus was divine, and he was human, you know, his human nature. And a lot of people don't want to, some people don't acknowledge that Jesus had human nature. And it also, what John also has shown me is what others have shown me as well as John is that Jesus is selfless.
All right.
And he's selfless. And so in this particular passage, John 11 and 35, it talks about Jesus wept. And Jesus wept because he was showing us that he did have those emotions. And the miracle that the miracle in this passage was raising Lazarus from the dead. And Jesus shows the disciples and others around and us also that he is the resurrector of this life. So when I looked up what the word wept means, based on Webster's definition of wept, it means to calmly shed tears. And so with Jesus calmly shedding tears, it shows us he has emotions and he is displaying them through compassion. Jesus is very conscious of Mary and Martha, which are Lazarus' sisters, and others that are around them and their suffering heart. Jesus, he understands that they're grieving. He understands that they're mourning. And he's moved by compassion. And we as humans cannot sometimes see past our emotions, but Jesus, he is able to see past his emotions and to see the eternal life. He's able to see the spiritual realm and different things. We can see it the more closer we get to God by the Holy Spirit leading and teaching us. But Jesus was already the Word and God all wrapped up in one. He's the Holy Spirit. He's everything. So he could see far more better than what our finite minds could comprehend. And then at this particular time, when this was going on, when this healing was taking place, the people could not see. They could only see what Jesus exposed them to as he went along. And because he was telling them about things, they still couldn't fully comprehend it until after Jesus had left. So Jesus is here, and he's showing his emotions, his compassion, because the people around there are grieving. And Jesus shows us that we cannot lean on our own understanding, but in his infinite possibilities, if we just believe in him and to look to him, that is able to keep us, you know, from falling. And he has all the power through his Father, which is God, to guide us and to lead us and to show us his power, that show us that he's God sent. That's basically what I'm saying. Okay. And so Jesus uses this opportunity as a teachable moment, not just for the disciples, but also to increase the other people that were speculating around and ours today to help our unbelief. So by Jesus is using this teachable moment, he is showing, just like I said, he's training the disciples, and plus he's helping the people with their unbelief. And so here Jesus is. Jesus is in Bethany, and Mary and Martha's brother Lazarus is sick, and they turn to Jesus for help because they believe in his abilities to help, because they have seen Jesus perform so many miracles before. You know, Jesus, he performed the miracle with the woman with the issue of blood. He performed a miracle with Jairus' daughter, where Jairus came to ask for help, and Jesus went back and resurrected his daughter. And they have seen Jesus perform miracles. And so they send for Jesus' help, and they tell Jesus that their brother Lazarus is sick, and they turn to him. And so what John shows us also in the text, he stresses to us in his writing that we have God who cares for us. And here in this passage, we see Jesus display many emotions such as compassion, anger, annoyance, sorrow, and even frustration. And he's experiencing all of this because he's in Bethany, and he just left Jerusalem, and he has the disciples with him. And while he was in Jerusalem, the Jews were trying to stone him. They were trying to kill him. So here he is. He has disciples that he's trying to take back with him to Bethany, and they don't want to go because they're afraid they're going to die. And so he has them pulling this way, and then he has the crowd that's around mourning, trying to comfort Martha and Mary, that don't believe. And so, you know, he's frustrated with the people. He's moved by compassion because he understands how they're feeling and how they're mourning. But at the same time, he's disappointed because they don't believe, and he's performed all these other things before this particular point. All right? So here Jesus is. He's he is he's trying to convince the disciples. Well, he's not convincing them. He's telling them what they're going to do. But the disciples are debating with him, trying to tell him not to go back. But Jesus goes anyway. Okay, so in chapter 11 we see Mary tells Jesus that the one he loved is sick. When Jesus heard this, he told Mary, sickness is not unto death, and that this sickness is for the glory of God. Even though Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he still stayed in Bethany two more days. In the meantime, disciples, you know, they were having a conversation with him about not going back through Jerusalem because the Jews had just tried to stone him to death. So when the disciples realized that they could not convince Jesus not to go back, they went on with him. So when Jesus gets there, he finds Martha. Martha runs out to meet him. And she runs out to meet him. And, you know, it's been 4 days now by the time Jesus get there. It's been 4 days and Lazarus has been dead. So Martha, when she finds out he's there, Martha runs out to meet him. And when she went to meet him, Mary stayed at the home. And Martha says to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. So what Jesus tells Martha in return, but even now, God will give you, okay, I'm telling it wrong. I'm trying to remember this off the top of my head. All right. Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would have died. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. But now that even God will give you whatever you ask for. So what she's telling him is that God is going to grant her prayers. He's going to give her what she asked for. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. So Martha answered to him saying, I know because you are the resurrector. Okay? And Jesus tells her that he's the resurrector of life, which is what John had already told us beginning. And he who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And he asks her, do you believe this? And Martha tells him, yes. Yes, she believed it. And she believed that he is the Christ, the Son of God. And so her belief moved Jesus to do what he needed to do to perform this miracle for her. And so once after she had said this, she went back and called for Mary to come out. Mary comes out, the teacher's here, and she said to him, when Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went and met him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary at the house confronted her, they saw Mary going out. They ran out behind her because they thought she was going to the tomb to continue to mourn. But Mary was going out to meet Jesus because she knew he had the power to resurrect her brother. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was, she fell at his feet. And she said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit. So he was touched with compassion because Jesus does have emotions. God has emotions. Some people don't want to believe that God has emotions, but God has emotions because he cares for us. And if he didn't have emotions, he wouldn't have sent his son Jesus to die for us so we could be able to commune with him and get a better understanding through the Holy Spirit of who he really is. Okay, so Jesus does have emotions, and he's moved by compassion in the situation. He's a little bit disappointed because of their unbelief, but he still is moved by compassion. Okay, so here it is where Mary, she's at his feet, and she's weeping, and the Jews were following behind her, where they had laid him in the tomb, and she tells Jesus, come see. And Jesus wept. because he saw Mary was hurt. He loved them. And at the beginning of the thing, at the beginning of the passage, it tells us that they sent, they told him, Lazarus, the one whom you love, has died. So Jesus, you know, Jesus is weeping because of this. He's hurt. And then Jesus, and then the Jews said, see how he loved him? You know, they're shocked. They act like they're shocked because Jesus loved Lazarus. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? And here it is, the spectators that are standing on the sideline, just like in our real life situation. We got spectators standing on the sideline saying, well, Jesus was really on your side. He would have done this. Why did he allow that to happen? Why did he allow this to happen? But we as believers have to tell them he allows these opportunities to happen so that his Father can get the glory. So our faith will be increased so we will know who he is and that he loves us and that he cares for us and he'll never leave us nor forsake us. That's what he's telling us when we get into these bad situations or we're grieving or we're lost. He wants to let us know that he loves us. That's his opportunity to show himself mighty, to give us strength that we don't have humanly, and we can lean on his strength and his might and his abilities, which is the supernatural. Amen.
Amen.
So
Amen.
here in the passage we have Jesus who was deeply moved. He comes to the tomb and was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he says to them. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he's been dead 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember everything about the what the Jews were doing, but I hope somebody up here can help me with this part right here. But I don't know what the Jews were doing about trying to resurrect bodies on their own. They were doing some type of rituals. And like if a person was dead past a certain amount of days, they were saying that the person could not be resurrected. But Jesus is getting ready to show and prove that he is the resurrection of life. He's not working no rituals. He's not working no spooky stuff. He's doing what God sent him to do, and the Holy Spirit is empowering him to do these things. Amen. Mm-hmm. Is anybody familiar with that?
Amen.
That's on the line now that would like to elaborate on that a little bit more?
But you're doing fine.
Okay. All right, but I don't know the whole details about it, but I remember reading it about the Jews were doing some type of rituals, and anything past 4 days was considered not to be able to do, but Jesus defeated that, and he showed them that he was the resurrector here. So
right.
So here it is. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by the time they were there was a bad odor. It has been 4 days, and Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Amen? If you believe, that's the key point right here, if you believe. So they took away the stone, and then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. So the miracles that Jesus performed while he was on earth, and also the miracles that the apostles are writing about, is to help our unbelief so God could get the glory. When
Amen.
He said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and his feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth over his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Everybody that doubted Jesus within that circle, everybody that was standing around speculating, got to experience this miraculous miracle of Jesus raising this man from the dead, and he had been dead 4 days, and his body had started to stink. And Jesus spoke to him. He didn't touch him. He gave him a command, and he came out. Just like God spoke things into existence, and they became. Things became, things started moving. The man became a living soul when he blew into his nostrils. And what John is showing us in the text is the power that has been manifested through Jesus. You know, at the beginning of John, it tells us that he's the word wrapped up, made flesh. Amen? So Jesus, throughout this whole ordeal, while he was going back to perform this miracle, he knew who he was. He knew what he was capable of doing, and he was not going to let anybody stop him from performing this miracle that his father sent him to do. He was not worried about the Jews. He was not worried about any of that stuff. What he was doing what the Lord had sent him to do. He was about his father's business at any time you encountered with him. He prayed. He tried to teach them how to fast, and he also tried to give them instructions on how to do things. The disciples, he was teaching them, and he was using this as an opportunity to show who he was and what he came here to do. And he has compassion. A lot of people do not believe that God has emotions, but God, he has to have emotions. Just like I stated earlier, if he didn't, he wouldn't have sent his son Jesus. He wouldn't have cared if we got it or not. He would have left us here to continue to walk around in the daylight, to walk around in darkness all the time. But he sent his son, and he sent the comforter that we may come into the light and have knowledge and understanding and be connected with him through the Holy Spirit so that we could assume power and we could be focused and we could operate in these miracles. Right now,
the
situation
right.
that we're experiencing and the things that we're facing right now at this time with these tornadoes, this flooding, all this stuff we're experiencing, God is trying to get us ready. And a lot of people will tell me, well, it's not God's timing. That's what somebody told me today. I had to wait for God's timing. I said, God been ready. We're the ones that are fumbling around. But God been ready. He's waiting on us. He is waiting on us so we can absorb, so we can demonstrate these things. He's waiting on us. But he is trying to help our unbelief and to get us more connected so that we can warn the spirit and we can speak those things as though they were. And we can minister to other people and be a powerful force where we're not distracted by what's going on. And we're not distracted about the worldly things because the enemy is steadily increasing his distractions and steadily trying to put more tactics in us so we will doubt and we will be pulled away from this word. Because we're not meeting up on Wednesday nights trying to properly dissect the word and get more power, more strength, and more courage, then we're a soldier out here in this world without our armor.
Amen.
And it's going to push us away from God. And it's going to be a wedge. And where we're supposed to be ministering to somebody, we won't be able to hear the Holy Spirit telling us what to do because we'll be focused on something else. It's like our radio frequency when you're in your car and you're trying to find a station, but you got a little too far away from the radar, the signal waves. And what does your station do?
It static.
What is your station? You get static. You can't hear.
Amen.
You hear bits and pieces. You can't hear. The further and further you get away from your towers, you can only hear bits and pieces. And that person that God may be putting you in front of, that he wants you to give them a word, you can't even hear what he's telling you because you're getting bits and pieces. So here that soul is that may be lost, and hopefully some the next person they run into is a little bit closer to that tower than what you were. So God is showing himself mighty. He's trying to increase our faith so that we will be fully ready and not be persuaded to go out into the world and do what he called us to do. Because he shows us right here when he went back through Jerusalem and he was in Bethany. The disciples were like, no, you don't need to go back there. They were just trying to stone you the other day. Why are you going back there? And Jesus said so he could show, so God can get the glory out of this situation. Amen. So as we read a little bit further here, it says, Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes. Therefore, the Jews who had come to visit Mary had seen what Jesus did and put their faith in him. People were brought to Jesus. They put their faith in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. The chief priests of the Pharisees called a meeting in the Sanhedrin. What are you accomplishing? They asked. Here is this man performing many miraculous signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. And then the Romans will come and take away both our place and our union. And they worried about their stuff. They worried about the Romans coming to take away their stuff. Instead of focusing on what really they need to be focusing on was Jesus and what he did and what he was able to do. So as we see a little bit further, what we are accomplishing, they ask, he is the man performing many miraculous signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our places and our nations. Then one of them named Cephas, who was the high priest this year, spoke up. You know nothing at all. You do not realize that it is better for you than one man die for the people than the whole nation perish. Okay, what is Cephas saying here, y'all? What is he saying?
Sacrificing Jesus.
Uh-huh, right. That's exactly what he's talking about. Yeah, and they want to kill him. They want to kill him, and they are going to kill him, but they're plotting to kill him. It says, he did not say this in his own words, but a high priest that year he prophesied that Jesus would die for the Jewish nation, and not only for the nation, but also for the scattered children of God, to bring them together and to make them one. So from that day on, they plotted to take his life. They plotted to kill Jesus because they were jealous and they were more concerned about their stuff than what they were, that he was the true Messiah. They didn't want to believe. Okay? So here we are. All right? So here we are. Now it says, therefore Jesus no longer moved about publicly among the Jews. Instead, he withdrew to their region near the desert to a village called Ephrah, where he stayed with the disciples. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, up to the country of Jerusalem for their ceremonial cleansing before the Passover. They kept looking for Jesus, and as they stood in the temple area, they asked one another, what do you think? Isn't he coming to all the feasts at all? But the chief priests of the Pharisees had given orders that if anyone found out where Jesus was, he should report it so they might arrest him. So here they are. They put a hit out on Jesus. This is exactly what they did. And they got everybody looking for Jesus because they want to kill him because he is messing with their materialistic wealth. But Jesus not only performed that miracle with them, He went on to perform many other miracles because he was moved by compassion and he wept. For another miracle where he performed was with Jairus' daughter. And he resurrected her. And they talk about that in the book of, let me see. It's in the book of Luke. The book of Luke, and it also talks about it in Matthew and Mark about the Jairus' daughter, his 12-year-old daughter, and how Jesus resurrected her, and how Jairus' faith is what called Jairus' faith is what moves God, and when he went to perform that miracle. When he was going to perform that miracle, on his way there, even though he knew Jairus' daughter was sick and someone came and told him that Jairus' daughter was dead, he healed Mary in the process because Mary touched his cloak, the woman with the issue of blood. She touched his cloak and power went out of him. So he performed another miracle just before he went to Jairus' daughter to perform that miracle. And Jairus didn't become upset with him because he believed. And he had faith in Jesus. So when Jesus went to the house to perform this next miracle, where he resurrected Jairus' daughter from the dead, when he went into the house, you know, the people, they were standing around, and he was telling her the girl just sleep, and the people were making jokes and laughing about it and stuff, that the girl was dead. So when Jesus went into the house, he only allowed the three disciples and the mother and the father of the child to come in the house with them. And he had told them not to tell what he'd done, but he woke the daughter up. He said, she's asleep. And then he told them to feed her because the child was hungry because of what the child had been through and what the child had experienced. So Jesus performed many miracles in front of the disciples and in front of the other people because he was moved by compassion. And Jesus also was frustrated because of their unbelief, and he had done so many miracles, but the people just did not believe. But I just thank God for having a compassion heart tonight, for Jesus having that compassion, for Jesus also loving us beyond our faults and dealing with us even though we're not even worthy of the things that he do for us. But Jesus still showed himself mighty because it's some people that have been diagnosed right here with us with diseases, and God has healed them.
Amen.
It's some people that suffer with, like you were praying earlier, they suffer with heart disease and diabetes and other stuff, but God has found a way to keep them here a little bit longer.
Amen.
God is keeping them here. He's sparing their life. He's sparing their life. And he's allowing people to find through technology ways to keep people living longer.
Amen.
So he's trying, so he's showing himself every day. But are we believing? Are we having a faith? Are we believing? And are we speaking these things that will bring power and that will bring life to us, that will tear down these walls that of bondage that are around us, that we can speak to these situations and bring life to a dead situation? Are we doing these things? Because Jesus has showed us the way. And anybody that's on this line that has lived past the age that Jesus has lived, Jesus said, greater works will they do. Right? Because he's given us the opportunity to understand, to gain an understanding so that we can. So that we can. And another thing I just thought about, what else I was telling my coworker today when we was having this conversation, and she was like, well, I'm waiting on God's timing. And I said, that's the same thing that the Israelites was doing too.
And it's still going.
I said, and it took them 40 years when it could have only took them a couple of days. Y'all help me out with it. It could have only took them a few days to do what they need to do. I said, and then the leader got so frustrated that he didn't even make it in either. Because he allowed the people to bother him and get him off his course. They got on his nerves so bad that he struck the rock instead of speaking to it, and it kept him from out of the promised land. And even though the people went through it 40 years, some of them didn't make it in. Because they failed to believe. Right, because they failed to believe and to be obedient and to and just, they just fail. So back to the topic here, Jesus wept. And Jesus wept because he was moved by compassion and love, that love that Jesus had, that God had given him to love us, that love melts the heart just like heat melt candle wax.
Mm-hmm.
And when he see us grieving and he see us going through things, it's time for us to be truthful with him and just cry out to him. Because you see, Jairus, when he went to Jesus, he fell to his knees and he cried out. The Samaritan woman, I'm bringing her in here because she fell to her knees. She didn't care about she was unfit to be around Jesus. People said the Samaritans were not people that should have been around Jesus, right?
Right.
But despite those odds, she went to him. And she fell to her knees to ask for help. What did Mary Martha do in this story? Hello? What did Mary Martha do? They ran
to
him. Fell to their knees because they believed. They heard about it. And they didn't let what people were saying in their ears persuade them or change their mind about who he was and what his capabilities of doing. They did not allow that. Jesus wept. He wept from compassion, but he also was frustrated because the people that had seen him do these things, they did not believe. Any questions? Any comments? Any feedback on it?
Woo!
This is good teaching.
I was writing as fast as I could. I'm going to have to go back and listen again and feel his sentences, that's for sure. You said that really, really spoke to me. And that's where when Jesus called Lazarus out, and he says, Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth, but he still had the burial clothes hanging on him. And I thought about how we, even as born-again believers, the Lord calls us, but sometimes we still have things hanging on us from the past that we haven't
taken off.
But we're dragging those things with us as we go to Christ, dragging those things with us as we go
to
minister, dragging them with us as we go to church.
Yeah,
and we
got to
let go of the dead things, the burial things, the things that are not of life giving. And don't represent life. Praise God. Praise God.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. I'm writing it down myself. Jesus calls us out, we drag things that are not life-giving, right?
Yeah.
Just like Lazarus when he was risen, right?
That's Lazarus.
When he was risen with the linen on.
Right.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
See, he said, forsake not to assemble yourself with others. That's what he say. And see what happens? We get power off of feeding off each other. Because not one person has all the answers. Not one person has all the answers.
What? That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
John just blessed my heart, you know, with studying this chapter, because, you know, I got to actually see from John's perspective what really went on right here. You know, what was John's writing about? You know, and when I went to think of the tie in other miracles that Jesus had performed with resurrection, that's when I was reading up on Jairus' daughter, you know, and Mary, the woman with the issue of blood, because Jesus was delayed with going to take care of Jairus' daughter, but Jairus did not fret. He didn't say, "Jesus, come on, my daughter dead." Not from what I read. He didn't say, "Jesus, come on, my daughter. I need you to help my daughter." You know, he just patiently waited for Jesus to show God's glory. Mm-hmm. To show God's glory. It is just opportunities for God to show himself mighty when we face various situations, whether it's death, whether it's sickness, or whatever it is, it's an opportunity for God to show himself mighty.
Amen.
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 All right, we got 10 minutes now, everybody.
You know what, Sister Ricks? When you ministered last night on February 6th, there were two things that you said that go along with what you said today. And one of the things you said was that God doesn't want us in bondage, that we must learn to listen to our spiritual heart and not the heart of the world. And that reminds me of today when you were saying, like, not to listen to the spectators and the speculators, the ones that are that are watching and criticizing and telling folks, you know, don't believe that. In other words, don't believe what you see. Go back to protect, you know, go back to what we know and keep your stuff. And then the other one that you said was that the anointing flows in God's timing. So whenever Jesus arrived, the anointing was going to flow.
But the anointing is going to flow. But are we humbly, you know, I go back to that conversation I had at work today, but are we humbly ready for, you know, waiting for it to flow? Are we humbly there? Just like they did, they went to his feet. They went to Jesus. They fell at his feet. But are we falling at his feet? Are we being truthful? Are we being honest? Because he already knows. We can't hide anything from him. We can't tell him, no, I'm not angry with this person. We can't tell him, yes, I have forgiven his person, because he see our heart. Mm-hmm. We can hide. We can lie to other people. We can lie to other humans. But if them humans are really connected and have their frequency turn up, with their radio signals, God will allow them to see too. So we just have to go to God. We have to be truthful with him. We have to say, God, I just made a mess. I don't know what to do here. I thought I was following you. I thought this, I thought that, but Lord, show me. Show me and lead me and tell me what to do from here. This is a mess. I don't know what to do, but I know that you are able. I know that you're able. I know that you're able because you said it in your word. That's what you told me in your word, that you are able. You have resurrecting power. You told me who you are. You're the provider.
Mm-hmm.
And that you love me and that all I have to do is ask. And what did he tell Mary back in Martha. Martha, back up in verse 21. She says, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. That's what she said. God will give you whatever you ask. That's faith and that's belief. And that's what moves God. Faith and belief, and just keep believing. And don't get caught up in this world system and what's going on around you, because the enemy is doing whatever he can to rob us, to kill, steal, and destroy, to kill our spirit man, to destroy our faith.
Yep, that's right.
And to steal our joy. And he's amping up his stuff. He's amping up his stuff. But I tell him, I said, that's a low blow. I said, but God got the final say. That's a low blow. And I said, God, it hurt. I said, God, it hurt. It feel like a ton of bricks, but I know you're able, God. And I know you will deliver.
Amen.
Amen. Any questions, any concerns? Amen. I put it back into the hands of the facilitator.
Yeah,
I'm finished.
Good.
Do we have a comment?
I was like you, Doc. I'm trying to remember it all. It was so good. I wanted to come back with something. But I'm saying if I have to say this or say that, I got to go back and listen again. My mind is full.
Praise the Lord for this word.
You said a lot of things there, Minister. You said a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was a lot. And I caught myself narrowing it down because when I was working on it, I was pulling from everywhere, all over the place. I said, I got to narrow this down because I'm going to be all over the place.
But I like what you said about we're going to do these. God said that we'll do these things, greater things we will do. He's already done everything, but he's given us this power and this authority and this anointing in us to do as he said, do as he did, speak as he spoke. Lazarus, you know what, we'll speak to that, and Dr. Suzanne said it, we'll speak to that dead situation and make it alive, and it is our faith, hallelujah, and the word of God says, with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible, so we can speak those that be not, and the word says, as it is, it already is in heaven, so shall it be in the earth. We speak it because God depends on us. Sure, he can have the rock cry out and he can make a bird or a jackass do what we need to do. But you know what?
Yeah.
We have his breath. We have his spirit. And he's reserved that for us to do.
Sister.
So we are the ones that are the pilgrims of the light. You know, and just like you said, you know what God can do, we can do. Not that we're God, but he's given us that authority and that power to do as he does.
To do
to
it
walk
in
like
Jesus' name. In his power to do it.
Yes.
Yes. Is that my husband,
I just like...
That's your husband.
I would just like to add,
that's him.
I would just like to add on to that. Yeah, praise God, praise God. And it's always good, you know, hearing... Minister Garrett now, with her married
praise
name,
God.
Minister Garrett, it's always good hearing her. You know, she is someone I believe is sold out for the Lord. So anytime she comes on, I know that, you know, she's going to come with an authentic heart, you know, sincere heart. So I truly believe that. But I want to make a comment in terms of that, you know, God wants us there. And I think the problem is we take our eyes off of the cross. We take our eyes off of Jesus and we begin to suffer with that worldly thing. And the more that we began to start to look at worldly things, the more we began to start to digress from where God wants us. You know, but as long as we continue, keep our eyes focused on Christ, you know, on Christ, because everything happened on the cross, you know, and then we began to start to believe and began to start to do those things, you know, as she was speaking. You know, our faith, you know, our relationship, everything increases when we continue to keep our eyes focused on God.
Amen.
Because it's too easy to get distorted. I always say that the world is has attention deficit, you know.
Mm.
We lose sight of where we're supposed to be going.
That's good.
That's right. And you
so
know
I really,
what, Elder Clay?
I got on late, but
that's pretty good.
I got on late, I enjoyed you know the part that I was hearing. You know, it definitely was the an excellent revelation.
And Elder Clay, you know what I thought about when you were talking just a few minutes ago? I thought about the Hulk. When the Hulk has his target. In his eyesight, when he has his target, he's swollen. He is swollen up. He's courageous.
Oh, that's
he will
good.
Do anything. So just as long as we're focusing on what we're supposed to be focusing on, we be courageous, just
well,
as the Hulk. But as soon as that woman or people touch him and other people distract him, look how he shrink right on back down. He just melt.
Ooh. I like that. Mm. He's swollen.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's courageous. Bold.
We have 10 seconds left. We have 10 seconds left, and I want to say to you, thank you so much for joining
us.
God bless you.
God
bless
you.
God bless. I enjoyed you.
God bless
you. Amen.
Thank you.
I face the dawn.